Good morning, friends. It's Friday with Jim here at Coast Community Radio, and I'm your host. My name is Jim, and with me in the studio, fortunately, we have engineer par excellence, Mr. Terry Wilson. And I've kind of changed the format here in that I've given Terry free rein to jump right into the conversation if he feels like he has a question or wants to talk with our guest. And who I'm proud to announce our guest today is Arlene Lemire, currently the mayor of the city of Astoria. We've had you on before, Arlene, when you were running, but then you were successful, and now you're actually mayor. Thanks for being with us.
I'm delighted to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your personal history.
Well, I've had a very busy life, I guess, because my dad worked for the Geological Survey, made topographic maps. We moved every 5 months when I was growing up, went to 18 elementary schools, and I've lived in 72 places. Astoria is home number 72. During that time, I became a school librarian. I taught for a couple of years, then became a school librarian, did that in Virginia for 21 years, then came out here to catalog the library at the Maritime Museum. And I was with them for 17 years until I retired in September.
So I'm trying to think, is there something that's called library sciences? Is that the is that the name of the profession?
It is. And people who work in public libraries have to get a master in library science. My master's is in education with a major in school library media services, which is a little bit different.
That's interesting. But now you are no longer doing library work. You're actually on the city council. What prompted you to jump into that arena?
I began volunteering a lot when I came here to Astoria, and was urged to try to get on the Planning Commission, just so I knew a little bit more about how the city ran and about ordinances and zoning and all those kinds of things that I really knew nothing about. So I was on the Planning Commission for 5 years, then was urged to run for City Council, which I did for 6 years, and then decided to run for mayor when Willis decided to step down.
Well, you've got some pretty darn big shoes to fill there, taking over for Willis. For our listeners, just a reminder that Willis Lloyd Van Dusen was our mayor for 18 years. Was a very charismatic and probably the best guy I know at running meetings. The guy can sure run a meeting well. And I worked with him when I was on the city council myself and enjoyed it. But before we get started, Arlene, let's reflect just a little bit on the legacy that you're taking over from Willis. Give me your take on Willis's work for the city.
Well, there are so many things that are here in Astoria because of Willis. He and Paul Benoit worked together so very well, and they with Mill Pond, and then Willis has worked so well partnering with the hospital, with the schools, with Recology, and in redeveloping the landfill. The trolley, there are just innumerable legacies for Willis Van Dusen. And he certainly was my mentor. People could come into a meeting and be angry, and by the time they left the meeting, they would be smiling. And that's something to emulate if you can. I liked his emphasis on teamwork on the council, and he never failed to mention that he wasn't the one that was getting all these things done. It was the whole council.
Yeah, he used the word team a lot. Has that method of going about city business carried over to what you're doing now?
We have a lot of very strong individuals on the council now, and it's not exactly the same teamwork approach, but I think this is a council that really wants to get something done, that we really want to do good things for the community, very activist. So it's a little bit different thrust, but I think it's a very effective council.
So let's see, Arlene, you've got... Who's on the council? Cindy Price.
Zeddy Nemluel.
Zeddy.
Drew Herzig. Drew. And Russ Warr.
And Russ Warr. Yeah, that's a kind of a diverse group right there.
Yes, it is. But they all have their strong points, and they all are not afraid to speak up. So I think, had a good working relationship. One of the things that I have tried to do, I was concerned when I was on the council that because of public meetings laws, sometimes I didn't know what the other councilors were thinking or how they stood on an issue. And so we've tried to plan more work sessions.
Mm-hmm.
And these are sessions where the council can sit around and brainstorm about a particular topic. And then the public has the right to weigh in as well. If we invite them to, and we have on all the work sessions we've had so far. So it's been, I think I know the views of the council a whole lot better than I would have if we had not started having these work sessions.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of projects are you interested in doing in the next few years?
Well, we're interested in finishing up some of the things we've started, first
right.
of all. The Irving Street Bridge is going to be dedicated on November 19th, and I know the folks up there on the hill will be very happy when that's completed. It has opened, but the official dedication will be November 19th. The Senior Center... A dedication should be around the beginning of the year. We had hoped it would be prior to the holidays, but as in all construction projects, things come up that aren't anticipated, and so we should be opening it right around the beginning of the year. We have now an advisory committee on Heritage Square that is working to determine what's the best use of that space. How do we finally fill that hole? So it's a good task force. They're working very hard on various options, working with Walker Macy firm from Portland. And they had an open house where many, many, many people showed up to weigh in on what they thought should be done at Heritage Square, whether the library should move over there, whether there should be affordable housing with that, whether the library should remain where it is and we should try to renovate it. So they did a good job of spelling out various options.
You know, one thing regarding Heritage Square that people don't really like to mention, and that's the American Legion building. It seems to me that in order to develop that block, you'd want to start out with a blank slate. And in order to do that, you'd want to be able to have the Legion move somewhere else. Now, I know Willis made a few attempts to talk with those folks, and they were just not interested. There are means and methods, however, that the council could employ to basically... take over that building and develop that full block the way it should be developed. Is that something that you guys even talk about?
I don't talk about it. We don't want to upset the Legion, our Legion friends. They have quite a building. I went through it not long ago, and the upper floor of that American Legion is like a museum. It's amazing. And I had thought prior to that, to going through that whole building, I kept thinking, yes, we could find someplace else for the Legion. I'm not sure we can. So I think the best thing is to be a good neighbor. And so if we are to put affordable housing in there, I don't know how any of these developments may affect how the American Legion feels. They may decide, yes, it's in their best interest to move. But until they do, I think that has to be their decision.
But you don't feel that the city should be kind of pressuring them at all and just let it kind of evolve as it will?
No, I don't. I think these are folks that have served our country, and they have a building that they are proud of and where they want to be. There is no other building around town that's of the size that they would actually need. They need a kitchen. There are lots of facilities that they need that aren't available elsewhere.
Well, you could just kind of pick the building up and move it. The building, they can be moved, you know.
Have you looked for property in this town lately?
Yeah. Yeah, especially flat level property.
Right, yeah. I might continue on that the combined sewer overflow project is just about wrapped up for this season. I think it wraps up next week. And everybody's happy about that. I think we're all tired of driving on part gravel and part potholes. They will begin again in June. The college, Patriot Hall, the construction is underway. As probably your listeners know, the reason the CSO project is over for now and will begin again in June is because the college needed the room up there on 16th Street to demolish Patriot Hall. We have a parks master plan, which we're very happy about because we have a lot of small parks, a lot of pieces of land that are kind of not contiguous to anything. We're trying to figure out whether we can, again, try to sell them, although we'll try to do a better job of the process of doing that. But also, it's a master plan. We have a rare RARE, AmeriCorps participant who is working on this master plan, and it will establish short and long-term priorities for the maintenance, the improvement, and the future development of parks and recreation. And we've needed that for a long time. We didn't have a very good global picture of our parks and what are the most important things that we need to work on and develop. We're working on actually trying. The cemetery is a big challenge to the Parks Department. When the city was more flush, we had a permanent employee out there at all times. We're not able to do that anymore, and so we're talking about perhaps bringing in a private firm to help us maintain that area because it's just beyond the scope of the parks. So there are lots and lots of issues for this Citizens Advisory Committee on the parks to take a look at and determine where we want to go in the future.
You know, one thing that the city was kind of investigating for a period of time there was the actually generating a lot of electricity from the watershed. And there was as I recall, a kind of trial project that was underway. What's the status of that project?
Jim, I know that was going on, and it was because our water flows downhill, it's a pretty good way to generate some electricity in our pipes. And I'm not real sure where we are in that project, but I think that it sounds like a great idea, and hopefully they'll keep working on it.
Yeah, I'd like to learn more about how that's progressing, because there was talk about putting in a little generator there at the headworks that would generate enough electricity to run the headworks and the house where the guy lives up there and all of that. But long term, I mean, there's such an incredible amount of energy with that water rushing all the way from Swenson all the way down to Astoria. It would behoove the city to continue that investigation, particularly as the energy crisis becomes more critical. Then we could have our own electricity.
I don't know that it would generate enough to do that, but I know Ken Cook is working on this, and soon as I get off the radio, I'll call Ken and find out where we are on that project. But I know that it's something that he's definitely interested in. I might mention, too, that we're working on affordable housing. This has become an increasingly important challenge across the state, not just here in Astoria. But we want to be sure that we have adequate housing for our workforce. And whether that be sales or rentals, particularly rentals, we just have almost none. And it was mentioned in the Daily Astorian that the Coast Guard is adding to the numbers of folks that are here in the town. And even though they are building currently 24 units of housing, they're still going to be about 50 units short. And most of those people want to rent. So we need to develop some affordable housing. And there is an affordable housing, another task force working on that. And this is the draft statement, if I may read it, because I think pretty clear. The city of Astoria has a shortage of housing. Both market rate and affordable units are in short supply, creating a dilemma for new and existing residents. Demand is far outstripping supply, as the annual number of units being produced are fewer than what is needed, causing prospective homeowners and renters to look elsewhere for housing. There are also implications for workforce development. If no additional housing is created, it becomes an economic development issue, as businesses have difficulty recruiting new employees. So we're trying to create a housing strategy and a work program to implement the strategy.
Yeah. You know, this is something that City of Cannon Beach has been battling for years, in that the service industry and that serves the people of Cannon Beach are, you know, they're not highly paid. But yet to get a place to live in Cannon Beach is extraordinarily expensive. So it's been a real dilemma for them down there. I know Mike Morgan has worked on that quite a bit. And they've done some low-income housing on the east side of the highway. And I'm not sure how that came about, but it seems to actually be working. But the problem that I see here, Arlene, is that there's no flat spots. There's no places to build it. You know what I mean?
No, they're not. And that's one of the things that Kevin Cronin is working on, is to see what we can do in developing infill. We want to have more accessory dwelling units. Allow people to build an apartment above their garage, for instance. We're thinking of perhaps decreasing the minimum size of building lots to give people an opportunity to utilize. Maybe they have a 4,500 square foot lot, and the minimum is 5,000. Maybe give them that option to perhaps develop some affordable housing. We're also looking at derelict buildings, and saying, you know, let's go after these. And if they're not being lived in, or if they have an owner that lives in California and is not taking care of it, let's see if we can utilize some of those places, renovate them, although renovation is expensive.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But the Jim Tierney at Clatsop Action Team has said, give us an inventory of houses that might possibly be renovated. And apparently they do something similar to Habitat for Humanity, where there's sweat equity involved. And I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
I think if people are involved in building or rebuilding a home that they have, they take a lot more pride in it.
You know, another thing that I'm curious about, talking with people about the imminent earthquake that we're going to suffer here, that's been pretty much, it's for sure it's going to happen, but not for sure exactly when. I'm wondering, and some cities are actually approaching it more seriously than others. I wonder if the Astoria City Council discusses that subduction zone earthquake and what it's going to mean to us, and what are we doing to prepare for that?
Right. Let me just mention, I just returned from a conference, a national conference of mayors of coastal cities around the United States, and it dealt with sea level rise and coastal flooding. And it was interesting because I was the only elected representative from Oregon and Washington. The person from Alaska had to bow out. But I think one of the reasons was that we're in a very unique situation. Our land is rising at the same level as our sea level, so we're not suffering from sea level rise right now. However, if we get an earthquake, even without a tsunami, they're anticipating that we will get a 3 to 7 foot sea level rise all at once.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, we are looking at it very seriously. We're having a meeting. Chief Johnston and Fire Chief Ames are working on a community gathering sometime this spring. February had been mentioned, but I don't know for sure. They have not set the date. Where we would have a large enough venue where everyone in the community could attend. We'd have CERT people there. We'd have samples of go bags so people can see those. I'm sure the ham operators would be there because they were our saviors during the 2007 storm. So, yes, we're definitely working on a program. I have talked to Representative Bonamici. She's interested in coming whenever we do this. So we have to have some serious talks about this. And so it was kind of interesting to be in this group of mayors where they're all talking about sea level rise and coastal mm-hmm. flooding, and that's not our problem. Our problem is going to be that big earthquake. And I might mention, Jim, when I came on the council, one of the things that I said was, can somebody tell me, please, where the buildings are that we go in case of a tsunami?
Yeah.
People say, go up the hill, but where do we go? And it didn't take me long to find out, we don't know where those buildings are going to be. We don't know what structures are going to be left standing
right.
after a big earthquake. We also don't know what roads will be passable to get up the hill. So there are a lot of unknowns, and as we keep saying, and we say it over and over again, you're going to have to be responsible for yourself, and
mm-hmm.
it's very, very important that you have your own food, your own water, your own supplies that you need. and you're going to have to be taking care of yourself and your neighbors. And so I'd like to see small neighborhood groups organize and have someone who will go around and kind of inventory what do people have in their homes that would be helpful during an emergency, whether it be a generator or tarps or whatever. I think it behooves us all to take responsibility for this.
Have you thought or talked about some kind of a framework that could be put in place that would accomplish the goals that you're talking about?
Yes, there's a great brochure that is given out at some of these CERT workshops and so forth, and I'm assuming we'll have piles of those at the whenever we have this emergency preparedness gathering in the spring. And so I'm hoping that people will take them and use them. One of the most the best things of this is that there are two posters you can either put in your window after an emergency. One says help and the other says okay. And that way, when people are driving by, they can tell right away that okay, this home is all right. We don't have to worry about them. This one needs some help.
You know, we just got a few minutes left, Arlene, and one thing that I wanted to talk about just briefly. Have you got something there that you're interested in talking about?
Yeah, real quick. One of the things that I wanted to be sure is that everybody in the community had an opportunity to talk with me if they wanted to. So I have a Meet the Mayor meeting the first Wednesday of every month at noon in the City Council chambers. We've also instituted something on our agendas at the City Council meetings that citizens can speak on any agenda items now. So if they, after council deliberation, if they raise their hand, I'll recognize them and they can speak on any agenda item. The other thing I mentioned was the work sessions, which I think have been well attended. We've had terrific attendance at City Council meetings. I mean, every chair is full, and we've had times when there were people out in the hallway. So this is a great community to represent. It's an honor to me to do that, and certainly they want to be involved, and we encourage that.
Yeah, it seems like the certain kind of energy generated in Astoria somehow that seem to be attracting a certain kind of people. What do you think? What is that? Why? How is that happening?
I don't know, but I notice it too. I you know, the place is buzzing. You go downtown, and the shops are busy. It's great, and there are. I have no problems getting like people to be on committees, boards, task forces. lots of volunteers. Lots of interest in helping the city.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. Well, I see Terry keeps pointing his finger at me. That's indicating that we're running out of time. It's been great talking with you, Arlene. We've been visiting with Arlene Lemire, the mayor of the city of Astoria, and appreciate you coming in, talking with us. And we'll be here next Friday, and our guest will be Terry.
Are you sure?
Yes, we will have a guest next week. I'm not quite sure who it is. Appreciate it. Stop by and listen. But meanwhile, of course, coming up right after a brief bit of news is Albert Smith. And Albert's folk show is well worth listening to. He has got wonderful taste in music, and I always enjoy listening. So until next week, thanks for being with us. Goodbye.